Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is our second lesson on the folly of neutrality. Some attempt to be neutral concerning Christ, and Christ, of course, makes that impossible. It's really a two-faced attempt at neutrality among the enemies of Israel recorded in 2 Kings. We read how that they serve their graven images, but they also tried to serve with the fear of the Lord. Well, both their children and their children's children, they do that unto this day. They try to serve both ways. Friend, Jesus is either the Christ, the Son of God, or he's not. You either decide that he is, or you decide against him. In Acts chapter 5, we read of the advice that Gamaliel gave some of the Jewish leaders as to how to deal with the apostles. He said, just leave them alone. If what they're saying is false, it'll die of itself. If what they're saying is true, nobody can stop it. Now, Gamaliel didn't wish to commit himself. He offered the ridiculous notion that error will just vanish if it's left alone, but that's not so. And neither will truth prosper if it's not defended and promoted. Yet there are some today who still advise people to deal with matters like Gamaliel. Friend, an attempt at neutrality contradicts taking an honorable stand for the truth and the necessity of choosing good rather than evil. Now, who does not recall the noble word of Joshua? He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This great man Joshua, he was not a neutral man. In Hebrews chapter 11, it records the choice of Moses. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward." You know, if some people today had been approached to God to deliver Israel out of Egypt, they would have suggested, "God, can't I work this deliverance out? Been staying here in Pharaoh's palace?" Moses made his choice. He took his stand, and he did his job. Now, does anybody really think that Christ was neutral? Even though he's the mediator between God and man, there's never been any doubt that he would do the will of the Father. Will we be like him? Or shall we be like, say, Judas, who negotiated on both sides of the street, if you please? Friend, attempted neutrality violates such passages as 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men and be strong." A neutral can't obey this. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, but not first on one side, then on the other side." In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Well, friend, this is not qualified. One is not qualified to fight as long as it's just easy and popular to do so. He cannot be neutral in his battle. In Titus 1 and verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word." 2 John 9 through 11, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." And Jude 3 demands that we contend earnestly for the faith. You cannot obey the passage of Scripture that I have just read to you if you attempt to take a neutral stand concerning Jesus Christ and his faith, the gospel message that he brought. One of the more nauseous forms of neutrality, I suppose, is the attempt to compromise truth with false philosophies of men. To meet halfway, as some would say, is to blend and try to harmonize truth and error. That only results in contaminating the truth with error. For instance, theistic evolution and this so-called gap theory, they're examples of compromise of error and truth. This dual fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, that's nothing but a sop to those who deny prophecy fulfillment element of the Bible, and those who contend that the Old Testament prophecies related only to the time of the prophets, not the age of Christ. You see, some confuse the types and antitypes and call it dual fulfillment. Well, friend, once a thing is full, it cannot contain anything else. But until it's full, the prophecy is not fulfilled. Compromise is at the heart of the controversy over whether we be Christians only or the only Christians. You see, there be some people sometimes, they want to include all the denominations to be acceptable to God, and they have no biblical authority for such a position whatsoever. God does not authorize the existence of any denomination that does exist, or has existed, or ever shall exist. Now, people might consider themselves broad-minded and tolerant. They might think themselves loving and kind, but their efforts are more toward a restructure of the church that you read about in the Bible. And then there's this false philosophy that some hold of a local flood in the time of Noah. That's nothing but another effort to compromise Scripture with the hypothesis of organic evolution of the Darwinian nature. One has written in his commentary that the local flood is a viable alternative to the universal flood as Scripture demands. Why, this is a frontal attack on the inspiration and the infallibility of Scripture, whether the so-called scholars realize that or not, and they seldom realize very plain matters. There's no way to harmonize the idea of a local flood doctrine with Scripture. And why should Christians seek to harmonize the truth with the doctrines of men who do not believe in God's miracles anyway and who deny the Bible to be God's word? Now, there be some who come along with the idea, but we cannot know things for sure. Now, this is not preaching faith. This is preaching doubt. This is preaching agnosticism. Friend, if we can't know for sure, how can they who say we can't know for sure be so sure that we can't know the truth for sure? I suggest to you that any philosophy that shoots itself in the foot like that idea, it's not reliable, and those who advocate it, they're not reliable. We should not pay any attention to people who tell you cannot know the truth, when our Lord says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and he's identified that truth as God's word, John 17:17. You see, some don't want certainty. They want to remain in a state of flexibility. If the situation arises, they can shift gears back and forth to accommodate those round about. They think that's expedient. To take a position where you won't take a position. But let me tell you something, friend. When you don't take a position concerning Christ, you've taken a position whether you know it or not. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ and try to be neutral about that, you have not been for Christ, and Christ said you're either for me or against me. You can't be both ways. You're going to decide. One way or another, you have made a decision. And if you don't decide for him, you have decided to be against him. And those who seek neutrality, many times they're just too fearful to take a stand, even though the evidence is all one-sided. Oh, but there'll be those who'll come along. Now, don't try to play God. Let's don't judge others. They're these no-judgers. I've never met or read after a no-judger who was not quick to severely condemn and judge those who didn't agree with his no-judge contention. He's simply many times trying to be neutral. He wants to take neither side concerning the truth. I have yet to find one who will not set aside God-revealed judgments lest they demand too much. They don't want to accept a certain position. And they will even tell us that, well, maybe God will possibly in some way do something or another differently than what he said in his word. Now, the Bible reveals to us God's plan of salvation: faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Some people just absolutely hate that. They don't want that. And they have the idea, well, maybe God will save them some other way. So let's don't judge. What they're doing is judging God. And they're judging those who follow God. They're ridiculous neutralists. The Apostle Peter tried to be neutral, didn't he? And where did it get him? It led him to deny the Lord 3 times. Now, later on, of course, even after he had cursed and sworn and denied Christ, he changed his attitude. He repented of his sin. He preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost. He took the gospel to the household of Cornelius. He was one mighty apostle of Christ. He wrote 2 of the books of the New Testament. Yes, he changed. But his attempt to be neutral at the time that Christ was seized is one of the black marks on his career. He didn't succeed in that neutrality attempt, did he? Realizing his sin, he went out and wept bitterly. Well, we close these words about neutrality with the admonition, let each one of us stand up for the truth. Stand up for it every day. Stand up for it every way, regardless of the cost for doing so. That's what our Lord did. And we'll either stand up for it, or at least sit down and quit pretending. Attempts to please God and please man have always failed anyway, because you won't please God, and you're certainly not going to please all men. It's really no use in trying to please men. Men have their own ideas. So many try to be neutral and not take a stand for the Lord one way or another, but they're not a friend of Jesus. Actually, they show themselves to be a chameleon type of person. They're a fraud. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul said, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Did you notice that little and big word if in that passage? If you stand fast. If. But what if you do not? If you do not resolve to stand fast, if you attempt to be neutral in the matter, you will not be pleasing in the sight of God. Jesus said you can't do it anyway. Why do you think you're going to succeed in something that Jesus said is impossible for you to do? Oh, it's so easy to believe in the Lord because the evidence is all one-sided. He is the Christ, the Son of God. He is the Messiah that the Lord promised to send. He is the one through whom we have our salvation. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And he is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Rather than being neutral, let's simply humble ourselves. Be obedient to him, and heaven will eventually be our home. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.